We welcome you this morning. Just call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin and a couple of important things, and we trust you pay attention and respond appropriately. 2 weeks from today, part of our morning service on May 17th, we'll be having a baptismal service. And you need to talk to Pastor Steve if you want to talk about this, if there's a desire to be baptized, or maybe just questions as to what we're doing, why we're doing it. Steve will be glad to talk to you, so see him. And but that will be in 2 weeks from this from today on May 17th. Remember that starting tonight and for the rest of the summer, we'll be meeting at 6 o'clock, changing our evening service to 6 o'clock. And so the schedule will be the same as far as the service and the fellowship time afterward, but the service will begin at 6, and we trust that you'll be able to join us for that. On the back, just a little paragraph about a new ministry, so to speak, a new way of getting to know each other better, and just sheets are on a bulletin board to sign up, and it's on a 3-month cycle with groups of three families and or people, and it's just a good way to get to know people that perhaps you're not that familiar with, and we trust that this will help you. And if you have questions as to exactly what the procedure is or what it might be all about, talk to Sheena or Janet or Kristen. In the bulletin, you'll notice that the Friends of the Week ministries that we support this week, the Gideons, and a little write-up on the Gideons. Most of you are very familiar with the Gideons, but we just mentioned that because next Sunday on the 10th, as part of the morning service, we'll have a Gideon speaker. We do this every year, sometimes twice a year, to get a report from them as to their work, what is happening in this area, what is happening worldwide. And you know that, and we'll have more to say next week, but you know that we really appreciate the Gideons, and they're one of the ministries that the church supports on a regular basis as well. So we trust you'll be here and hear that report. And as always, and this is one of the few times in the year that we take up a special offering. We don't normally do that, but we do it for the Gideons. And there'll be an opportunity for you to give toward the purchase of Bibles and toward the distribution of it. And so you might be praying about that, might be trying to determine what you might be able to give toward that work. And there will be an opportunity next Sunday morning after the service for you to give to the Gideons. So do come prepared. We trust it will be good for you and good for them as well. So we look forward to having them next Sunday morning as just part of the service, but a very important part, and we're thankful for it. We are glad you're here today. First Sunday of the month, Sunday that we focus in at least for a while on the things pertaining to the Lord's death in a communion service. And we trust that that it will be a blessing to you as you think of the death of Christ. And Sam will be coming in a little bit to lead us in that part of the service. And we trust that the morning service will be good for you today. So, Chris, come, please.
Good morning. We want to start our service this morning with Come, Christians, Join to Sing. It's number 108. If you'll stand and take your hymnals and join together, number 108.
Christ our King. Alleluia.
Lord, we come before you today as your people, and we just thank you for the blessings that you put into our lives. Today, as we sing your praises, as we remember your sacrifice for us, and as we are taught from your word, we just ask that everything is done to your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you'll turn back to number 81. I want to continue with What a Wonderful Savior. It's number 81. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed. The price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I praise him for the cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. Let's pray before we begin. Our Father, we come to you with grateful hearts, thankful for your plan, thankful for your Son who went to that cross, bore our sins, and makes it possible for us to have a relationship with you. And Father, we are grateful that we have the privilege of spending these few minutes remembering, spend these few minutes meditating, focusing on that great work done on our behalf. And we pray now you would just use these few minutes in each one of our lives. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this we greatly rejoice, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" This morning we come together to remember this new birth, this salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We come to worship a risen Savior. But we come together to remember. And when we remember today, in these few minutes, we remember what difference is going to make in the next few minutes of our lives. What difference will it make this afternoon? What difference will it make tomorrow, this week, this month, this year? What difference, the fact that we're remembering together the death, burial, resurrection of our Savior, what difference is it going to make? Because we have a choice. It will make, of what kind of difference it makes in our life. Peter, who wrote this in the Gospels, was known as a man who tended to act first and think later. He was a man who got himself into all kinds of trouble, acting very spontaneously, but he's also a man of, when it came out good. You know, he had the great confession. Christ said, "Who do men say that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, he didn't have to think about that a lot. Very, great confession, but he also had the great denial, of which he said, Christ, I will never let this happen to you. And Christ said, you will deny me three times. He had the great denial. You know, he walked on the water and then became fearful. He took his sword and tried to defend Jesus in the garden. He was a man who acted and then thought. But later in life, as we read here, he said, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your... Total reversal in his life. Total reversal here. He said, prepare your minds for action. And that's what I would like for us to consider today. As we remember in our minds, prepare our minds for action. And what can that action be? That action can be in the next few minutes while these elements are passed. Maybe we need to consider just thankfulness, gratefulness to our Lord. Express it, you know, silently as the elements are being, express it in your heart. That's an action. That's an action. We can express our attitude of gratefulness. We can express that as we're doing this today. Because it says, the first verse we read, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our... That's what we need to be doing this morning as we remember, we praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are grateful to Christ. So we have those that we remember, we worship, and just in these few minutes together is an action. Worship is an action. It's not just an attitude, but it is an action for us to be. In verse 5 or 6, it says, we greatly rejoice. Again, we praise, we greatly rejoice. And then we have verse 8, even though we do not see him, we believe in him. And that should fill us, it says here, with an inexpressible joy. We praise, we rejoice, and we're filled with an inexpressible joy. That's part of remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You know, there are some here, we practice open communion. Communion that we believe is open to any believer, in the person who's put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. If you have not put your faith and trust in Christ, we ask you not to partake, but to consider. Again, prepare your minds for action, because consider the work. Everyone in this room is a sinner. Everyone in this room, from the newest newborn to the oldest of us, is a sinner. There are some, maybe most, that have placed their faith and their trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for salvation. This is what this is about, is remembering that work on the cross. But if you have never done that, or not sure you have ever done that, I would ask you to consider in your own mind, but prepare your mind for action. Be ready to do something about it. Be ready to do something, as we know we're all sinners. It says in Romans that we've all fall short of the glory of God. It says in Ephesians that we can't do anything of ourselves to earn that salvation. This salvation we're remembering today, none of us can do anything to earn it. It is a free gift of God. And I ask, if you're not sure, you consider. You can consider. You can trust Jesus Christ as simply as admitting to Him that you're a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and you put your faith and your trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You can do that right where you're sitting. Now, I would encourage you, if you do, I would encourage you to talk to someone. Talk to John, to Steve, myself, one of the elders. Talk to someone about it. But I challenge you. This is what we're remembering today. We're remembering the death, burial, and resurrection. And in it we praise, we rejoice, and we're filled with joy. Would the men come forward, please? Here, before we pass the elements, I would like for us to sing together a cappella a chorus of Thank You, Lord. And so, John, you would start for us.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Bread that we're about to take of represents the broken body of Jesus, and we give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we do this in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's partake together.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you very much for shedding your blood for us, the just for the unjust, that we might be made right with the Father, brought back into fellowship with you. Thank you for this remembrance you've given us as oft as we do it, Lord, to do it in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
This cup symbolizes the blood, the payment for your sins and my sins that we remember today. Let's partake together.
I just want to continue to remember our Savior by turning to number 175. You'll stand and we'll sing together, Hallelujah, What a Savior. It's number 175.
Hallelujah.
you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 139, we'll have our scripture reading for the day.
Psalm 139. This passage of scripture was one that, when I was a very young believer, the guy who led me to the Lord, this verse or these verses allowed him to God used to minister to him as he was trying to make a decision whether to go into the Navy or not. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, and I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book we are all written, were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming here this morning and hearing your word, of being part of the body of the believers, of your church, of the things that you are about in the world. And Father, we just pray this morning that you would give the words to John to speak, that you would give us hearts to hear, minds to listen, and that you would allow us to take away the things that you would have us to apply to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
we prepare to hear the message today, I'd ask you to turn to number 395. We're going to sing together, "Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord." It's number 395, if you'll stand, please.
Dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. And if you would please turn to John chapter 15. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are reminded, even as Sam has brought it to our minds, that what we remember is the day when we, who were once lost, were found. And we who were once blind have been made to see. And this morning we would remember and praise you and thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you, Lord, that we are yours today. And I would pray, even as Sam has admonished some, perhaps, to consider the things of Christ, the sacrifice for them, that they too might turn from darkness to light and live. Thank you now for your word. Thank you for these words, even of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his disciples. Words that apply to us. That our walk might be worthy of our calling. It might be to please you in everything. It might be to bring honor and glory to your name. So we do pray that you would teach us. Teach us how we ought to think, how we ought to walk. Thank you for these who are here. Again, we ask that our minds that tend to get so busy, either in thinking back to the past week or thinking ahead to the things coming up, we get so busy we cannot focus in on things we ought. I pray that you would cause us to be quiet for just a few moments before you, and you would teach us in your name. Amen. We've been in this section in the Gospel of John for a number of weeks now, in John 13 through 16. You realize that this is a unit. This is John's record of the happenings in the upper room. It will conclude with chapter 17, his prayer on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was to be betrayed and then to be taken away to be crucified. So these are his last words to his disciples. And I know I've said that before. We need to keep that in our mind. This is what Jesus would have his people to know. In the last couple of weeks, we've been just picking out of these passages, rather than going through every single verse, we've been picking out words that might have some special meaning to us. Words like peace, my peace I leave with you. In the evening we talked about tribulation. In the world you will have tribulation, and we talked about that as part of our lifestyle. And then last week talked about being fruitful. Our reason for being is to be fruitful. And these words sort of summarize, at least in some sense, the main characteristics of a life of a disciple of Jesus. And I would repeat just a little different slant on what Sam said. People are not born disciples. People become Christians by faith in Jesus Christ. And Sam mentioned that the elements we partook reminded us of his death on the cross, and it's by faith in him that we become Christians. Then there's the matter of being a disciple. And we want to talk about being a disciple today because it seems to be sometimes misunderstood. There are aspects to it that we need to understand, and we want to pick that out of John chapter 15. Sometimes we get the wrong idea of being a disciple. And some of you have probably thought, I'm not going to be a disciple yet. I'm not going to follow him yet. We sing a little chorus. It's in our hymn book. We don't sing it very often here. Sort of glad. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I understand the thought behind it, but we look at John chapter 15, and we get a different idea, maybe one that's more important. John chapter 15, our verse is verse 16, but it follows immediately after where the Lord is changing by words his relationship to his disciples. He's saying, I call you friend now, not servants. I'm bringing you into some deeper counsel of mine. I'm telling you what I'm all about. I'm telling you what I'm doing. And we don't do that to servants. We just kind of let them out there. But I'm bringing you in. See? And I'm calling you friends now. See? And sometimes we take that concept and we begin to think maybe that we are something special. We have achieved a certain level now. I am a friend of Jesus Christ. And I have become a very special person. I'm a disciple now. I'm one of his inner group. And I think verse 16 will help us keep some things in perspective when we begin to think too highly of ourselves in terms of being a disciple. The word I want to give, and it'll be the last word we pick out of this, is the word appointed. Appointed. It's in verse 16. And before we look at that, we need to get a couple of ideas I think are biblical, and I'll just put them out there. They're kind of blunt, but I think they're valuable for this verse. We need to remember that God does whatever He wants with us. He does whatever He wants with us. And the second thing we need to remember as we look at this passage is that we are to do as we're told. Why? Because He told us to. That's all. That's the only reason He ever gives. I'm telling you to do it. Do it. Now we'll take those principles and we're going to work them through a number of passages, and we're going to end up at John 15:16. So just kind of keep something there to turn there. But to get there, we're going to start back in Jeremiah 18. I want to build something that's through a lot of Scripture, and then we're going to end with verse 16. But remember those principles. God does what He wants with us. And we are to do as we are told. Jeremiah chapter 18 is a very familiar, at least to a lot of you, I'm sure. The story of the potter and the clay. And Jeremiah is told by the Lord, and takes some of the maybe elders with him or something, to watch a potter working. And I've seen a potter work, a couple of demonstrations of the gentleman that lives outside of Eureka Springs, has a kind of a potter's house, potter's ministry. If you want to see a potter work, call Joe Looney. Joe's a good potter. Did you all know that? Joe is a potter. And maybe sometime he'll be doing something and he'll let you come out and watch. But the idea is that you start with a lump of clay, and you put it on a wheel and you spin the wheel. And is the word throwing, Joe? Is that the word? Anyway, you make something out of that lump of clay and it slowly takes shapes. And you're doing it to the clay with your hands. And maybe a shaping tool of some sort later on. But and as it comes out of that lump into some kind of form, you're looking at it. And if you don't like it, you take that thing off and you stop the wheel and you take that thing and you just mush it all up again and start over with a lump. And you do it until it comes out the way you want it to look like. See? And that's the story in the first few verses of 18 here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah sees the potter. It didn't work out, so it was spoiled, verse 4 says. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. See? And the lesson is in verse 5 and 6. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, can't I do that with you, Israel? See? You are like clay in the potter's hands. I can do anything I want with you. See? You are like clay in the potter's hands. Exceedingly non-democratic process. The potter just does what he wants with the clay. The passage in Psalms that Mike read, Psalm 139. Perhaps the Psalm of David, at least it's ascribed to him, it's related to him, and it certainly would seem to fit what we know of him. But he's talking about the marvels of God and God's wisdom, and how multiplied and deep the wisdom is. And says, I don't understand it, God, but I do know something. Verse 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Do you know what that says? See. David's life was set out for him before he was formed. See, day one and day two and day three, and Goliath and Jonathan and Saul and Bathsheba and the Philistines and Absalom and all those events that we read from David's life. And the in between, the lion and the bear when he's a shepherd. All those days set out, written down before David was even conceived. David says, I am just here doing what you set out for me to do. Back to Jeremiah in chapter 1. It's the same thought, only this is about Jeremiah, not a potter. Jeremiah 1:4, we probably a young man, he's of the priests, so he had some concept of serving the Lord. But verse 4 says, Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. See? The Lord knew Jeremiah before Jeremiah existed. And that word appointed is an interesting word. It's the word nathan, and it means to give. Not just to point at somebody and say, hey, you're this or you're that. It's to give. I gave you as a prophet to the nations. See? And then he goes on to say in verse 7, Everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. I gave you as a prophet. You'll do what I tell you to do. You'll say what I tell you to say. You'll go where I tell you to go. See? Interesting passage. Paul had much the same idea about himself, just to show you it's not completely in the Old Testament. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul giving his testimony to the Galatians, his life history in brief. Well, anywhere. Verse 15, excuse me. But when God, Galatians 1:15, when God who had set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me, and so on. God who set me apart before I was born, but when it pleased him, maybe 30 years later, but this is all set apart for 30, 35 years, however old Paul was, when God was pleased to reveal his son in Paul. See? But it was set out from the beginning. See? Titus chapter, or 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. God placed me into the ministry. It pleased God to, who called me from my mother's womb, to place me into the ministry. See? And I hope you begin to get the idea, see, from these passages. The Lord God, creator of heaven and earth and all that is in them, He's not bashful. See? He's not shy at all about telling his creatures what to do. See? The Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, is very, very directive with his people. He says, This is what I set you out for a long time ago. This is what you're going to do. And sometimes I think we miss that aspect, see, about being a disciple. And I grant you it's part of the mystery that goes on all the time between God and His sovereign working from eternity past to eternity future, and God and His purpose that can't be changed, that can't be denied, and at the same time working through people and how I respond and how those two things work together, one of the mysteries of Scripture. But the point today is that we serve Him as disciples, see, at His command and at His direction. And it leaves no room for pretentiousness on my part as a disciple. It leaves no room for me to claim some sort of importance, some sort of dignity, or some sort of excellence. See? There's no room for that if I understand this concept. There's a song, some of you know the words, and I'll just pick some of the words out of context, and you can talk to me afterwards about that. But when all is said and done in my life, the one thing I can't say, and here's the third verse, I think, of the song. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune. I'm worth a lot to Thee. See? And we need to remember that that's not true. Turn back just for a moment to the verse we put in the bulletin in Luke chapter 17. Starting at verse 7. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come in and sit down to eat? But will he? I mean, that'd be nice, right? And we'd say, well, I'd be nice to my servant. He's worked hard all day, and so he deserves a break. Will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, and clothe yourselves and serve me while I eat and drink. And when I'm done taking care of myself, you can eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done that which we ought to have done. That's all. I just did what I should have done. See? I just did what was commanded. And see, there's an aspect of discipleship that's no big deal. Nothing special. Nothing to say, I really am something in the Lord's service. See? It's just the way I'm supposed to be, and the best I can say is, He spoke, He commanded, I did it. That's all I can say. See? Now, all that brings us back to John 15, verse 16. That's the kind of the foundation. See? This is the Lord to a special group of disciples on the night before He's crucified. See? Disciples who have been brought in from being just mere servants to being called friends. Somehow in a deeper walk with the Lord. See? You didn't choose me. You didn't choose me. Don't get the idea that you chose me. I chose you. See? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's Ephesians chapter 1. See? You didn't choose me. I chose you. See? There's another song that's much better than the first song. I sought the Lord. And afterwards I knew He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. It was not I who found thee, Savior true. No, I was found by thee. See? You didn't choose me, I chose you. See? And we as disciples, we as friends are chosen for that. And we are appointed to go and bear fruit. See? And that word appointed is the word back in John chapter 10, verse 17, where the Lord laid down his life. Laid down. That's the word appointed. See? The concept being is, here's the Lord with his life, and the Lord takes his life and he lays it down. See? He laid it down as a quantity. He laid down his life. John 15, 16, the Lord took me and laid me down. See? He said, here. See? It's a very direct, I appointed you. It's not just, hey, this is your new job and whatnot. It's not the way we appoint people. It's he literally appointed, took me and laid me down. That's the meaning of that word. We are his disciples. We are his disciples. He chose us. He set us out. He laid us down to something. And we do it. We do it. Now you might say, that's, oh man, that's a depressing view of discipleship, right? That is not what I like. Following Jesus every day by day, nothing can harm me when he leads the way. And, you know, and now I am, all the songs in our hymn book that end with, and now I am happy all the day. See? That's what we want. And you say, you're making it too heavy. And making the Lord too heavy-handed. And all I can say is, he is Lord. See? He is Lord. But in reality, as I was thinking of this, this is the best concept of discipleship I can come up with. Chosen and set out to do what he wants me to do, what he tells me to do. What a life. What better way could a person live? See? What else is there to do? Do what I want to do? See? Make my own life? Say, I'll follow you this way, but not that way. I'll do this, but I won't do this. You know, that'd be horrible. See? What better way to say, I'm only doing what you told me to do. See? You want security? You want to rest easy in this world? I chose you and appointed you. That's security, isn't it? Does that help you rest easy? Does that take all the pressure off? See, it really does. It really does. What's going on out there? I don't know what's going on out there. What am I doing? Doing what he told me to do. See, it's the only, I mean, really, it's a great way to live. It is a great way to live. It's not heavy. It's not hard. It's not, you know. Saved by God for his glory. Marvelous to live a life that just reflects that. And I don't get involved in it at all. See? The only thing I have to ask of him is, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to do today, Lord? What would you have me to speak? Where would you have me to go? See? That's all. And the only thing I say in addition, I ask that question, and the other thing I say is, I'll do it. I'll do it. And that's unpretentious discipleship, but I think it's the only kind of discipleship that the Bible teaches. Just doing what he tells me to do. Has to start somewhere. It has to start with, Lord, just make it clear, I'll do it. And when it's done, you say, what's next? See, that's discipleship. Another song. Heart and my possessions, Lord, I offer unto thee. All these were thine, Lord, thou didst give them all to me. Wondrous are your doings unto me. Plans and my thoughts and everything I ever do are dependent on thy will and love, O Lord. I commit my spirit unto you. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. Everything, Lord, from me that I have is yours, and I will do what you tell me to do. And I don't know what he's telling you to do. I don't have to know what he tells you to do. You're his disciple. But you need to ask him, and you need to say, yes, sir, I will. And when it's done, it's what's next? What's next? Unprofitable servants, I only do what I'm told to do. But it's the only way I believe a disciple ought to be living. And I trust that it will challenge you to think of how you are living before the Lord. How you are living as a disciple. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. And whatever you ask of the Father in my name, that will I do. It's a great verse to live on. It's a great verse to be a disciple on. Trust you will. Let's pray. Father, teach us your ways. They are good. Teach us what it is to serve you. Teach us what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, chosen and set out and appointed to go and bear fruit. I pray that all of us, Lord, would say wherever and whenever and whatever to you. Work in us that which is glorifying to you. Your marvelous purpose for us, I pray. And to that we can say thank you. In your name, amen. Take your hymnals, please. Song of a Disciple, number 61. Who am I that you should love me, meet my every need from birth? Why invest yourself so fully in a creature made of earth? In your loving heart you plan me, fashion me with greatest care. Through my soul you breathed your spirit, planted your own image there. I am yours, eternal Father, all my body, mind, and heart. Take and use me to your glory. Form yourself in every part. Lord, your love brings joy and gladness flowing forth within my soul. Marvelous words for a disciple to sing, his confession to his Lord and Savior of all that he is. Let's stand, please. We'll sing all three verses. Number 61, trust this is from your heart as well. And then, Steve, would you come, please, and close in prayer.
Bow with me in prayer, please. Father, Lord, we recognize in our own lives that, Lord, so often is just an innocuous title that we use. We fail to recognize what Lord, what you as the Lord, what you do in us, what your intention for our lives is. And Father, perhaps we need to confess before you that we so often cherish control of our own lives, and we fail to ask what you intend for us to do. We fail to respond, what will you have us do, Lord? So, Father, for your people, I ask for each of us that we may have lives and hearts that are fully committed to live as servants, as disciples. That you would show us the fruit that we should bear in our lives. And I too would ask that you would, for those who are yet not your children, that you would remind them of the things that were talked about in the communion service. The redemption that is ours through Jesus. So, Father, we ask that you would remind us, bring back to mind this week, who we are and what you expect of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.